job in May.
Your old pal Spooky here, welcoming you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze. Spook Trail 269. Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering a your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days they're going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
The Arkansas Razorbacks this past weekend lost a huge game to Notre Dame and played embarrassingly. Yesterday, they pulled the trigger and fired Sam Pittman. He is the first SEC coach to get the axe this season. Kevin Bohanna from Hogsports.com joins us right after this open to do a little bit of a recap of the Sam Pittman era and where Arkansas goes from here. Then we will cover the rest of week 5 of the SEC right here on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No,
I mean,
look. No. Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah. But then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, we want to welcome you inside the Monday evening edition of the Stingray Show. We are doing a recap of week number 5, but before we get to that, the first domino effect of a firing happened up in Fayetteville, Arkansas yesterday as Sam Pittman was let go. Now, here are the records since Sam Pittman was hired at Arkansas. In the COVID year of 2020, he went 3-7. The next year, he went 9-4. The following year, 7-6. Then he took a turn for the worst of 4-8. Then rebounded last year for a record.
That I cannot say. This other story is crazy that could happen.
Oh, the mother that yarned so.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? What? We'll talk about it right here. That's just crazy.
I can read the screen over there. So
Sam Pittman didn't fumble the ball at Memphis. He had nothing to do with that fumble. This past week at Notre Dame, okay, there's something there on Sam Pittman. But you know what? Notre Dame is a good team. I don't know if Notre Dame's great, but I know Notre Dame's good.
Yeah.
I get it. It's been a lot. It's been a roller coaster. It's been up. It's been down. It's been up. It's been down.
Yeah.
In year 6, you think you would see some consistency, and you're kind of going through this, and I get it. I completely get it. Is Sam Pittman everyone's favorite head coach that's not their own? Absolutely. Everyone loves Sam Pittman. Everybody loves Sam Pittman. But you know, I hate to see it, but I don't necessarily agree with it, but I do completely, fully understand it.
So to do a recap of the Sam Pittman era and to look forward to who they could potentially bring in at Arkansas, here is Kevin Bohanna from hogsports.com up there in Fayetteville. Kevin, how were things with you in Northwestern Arkansas?
Busy, guys. And I thought of you and Heath yesterday at 12:01, and we knew it was coming. It was just a matter of how they were going to do it and, you know, and how they would let the players know. So the players were notified via text from Hunter Yurecek. One of the players I talked to was at IHOP when it happened. So players were off on Sunday, obviously going into a bye week. And, you know, coming off of Saturday's loss, that was historic in a bad way. You know, 42 points allowed in the first half. That was the most points allowed by a non-SEC team, by an SEC team at home in 20 years. So that just shows you right there. I mean, Notre Dame did any – guys, their second, third down of the first half came with 3 minutes left. That's how easy it was for them to score. So it just – it was leading up to that point. And, you know, to Heath's point, he didn't fumble the ball on against Memphis, didn't fumble the ball against Ole Miss. But it's the lack of consistency – the discipline, the fine attention to detail that got him let go yesterday. Sam Pittman got Arkansas out of the gutter. They were 4-20 under Chad Morris, 4-18, and then Morris got let go in the middle of the season in 19. And they lost the last two games, 7-19 in one score games. But you can trace this back to 2022, okay? The one score losses. Barry Odom and Kendall Briles leave. So Sam Pittman has to make his first – well, his second hire as far as offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. Okay, so he goes to Dan Enos, who he knew, that had been at Arkansas previously from 15 to 17. And he went with a young, unproven defensive coordinator in Travis Williams. You know, Williams had a great career at Auburn as a linebacker. He was a co-defensive coordinator there. But he didn't get his first coordinator full coordinator title – until 21 and 22. So he had 2 years experience right there. And that, so he brought in for 23. And the results just didn't get to where they were. The inability to adapt to the NIL and recruiting plus in-state recruiting led to the roster that were there. Okay. So, you know, you can look back and say he wasn't given the resources. That's fine. But I've seen guys make more with less. And that was ultimately the downfalling. You know, he had right about the same record Brett Bielema did. You know, maybe a couple of games here or there, but it was about the same as you look at it. You know, Bielema went 3-9 that first year. Pittman had a 4-8 year. But Bielema got fired as he walked off. And I have a good feeling that Pittman, that conversation was had Saturday after the Notre Dame game.
Kevin, go ahead and talk about the interim head coach is now Bobby Petrino. And this morning, he started laying off all of the defensive staff. Talk about that, please.
Yeah, it's weird how things come full circle. Going back to April 1st, 2012, I remember like it was yesterday, and I was talking to Trey Biddy yesterday about it. And, you know, we remember when, you know, that was the pinnacle of the 21st century for Arkansas Razorback football. You know, Arkansas went, you know, 10-3 in 2010, went to the Sugar Bowl, lost to Ohio State, and all the players that they paid under the table illegally, selling, you know, gold pants, you know, necklaces and all that good stuff. And then the next year, go to the Cotton Bowl, beat Kansas State, 11 wins. So he's 21-5 in 2 years. Ended up 34-17. He was dismissed, obviously. 3 years ago, when he was at Missouri State, Petrino was invited to the Little Rock Touchdown Club. I was sitting front and center for it. And he showed pure remorse for what happened. And he stated that the Arkansas job was his favorite. That was where he had the most – most success and, you know, where he really loved being at. So he wanted to express his remorse, and he did. And I feel at that point, the Arkansas fan base said, man, it'd be nice to have him back. So fast forward a little bit. Arkansas plays Missouri State. Missouri State gets up on Arkansas in the fourth quarter. It ends up being a 38-27 win by Arkansas. But there were some kinks in the armor, you know. In 2023, you could really tell that Bobby Petrino really exposed the weaknesses and the inconsistencies in Sam Pittman's football team.
So with that, we are up against our first break of the evening. And when we come back, we are going to dive into potentially who Arkansas could get to replace Sam Pittman. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. Be back in a flash. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227. To schedule an appointment to build your financial security, the Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing lender.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Watch for an accident in the left lane west on McFarland at Skyland Boulevard. We also have an accident moved to the right shoulder west on McFarland at Airport Road. Congestion north on Lurleen Wallace from 15th Street to McFarland, a 7-minute drive. On Highway 69 from McFarland to Mitlary Road, it's a 9-minute drive. And watch for construction on McWright's Ferry Road. It's being extended down to Rice Mine Road. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bach.
Everybody loves.
Never miss a moment of the action. Download the free Tide 100.9 app today.
And with that, we want to welcome you back inside the Stingray Show, and our first SEC firing of the 2025 season happened yesterday, and it was Sam Pittman. We are talking with Kevin Bohanna of HogSports.com to give us a preview of who potentially could follow Sam Pittman at Arkansas. Here are some of the candidates that he thinks would be a good fit to replace Sam Pittman.
What's the craziest name you heard? What's the absolute no name that you've heard? Like, that's never going to happen.
Nick Saban. I mean, And Dan Lanning, I mean, there have been Arkansas media that have brought up Dan Lanning that they could get him back in the SEC. Wow. And that's after Oregon goes and puts it on Penn State right. in a whiteout. I mean, and look, Dan Lanning has a direct line to the Nike god, I mean, Phil Knight. So, I mean, he's got him on speed dial. He has that relationship. Yeah, that's not happening. So, you know, the names that have been thrown out that are out there, John Gruden, of course, who expressed, you know, a wanting to come, he'd love to coach in the SEC. Look, Gruden's doing a good job with everything he's doing, you know, on the outside and promoting football, promoting the game and everything. But I just, you know, that's just a bad fit. We have 20 names on our board at hogsports.com.
Wow.
And we do a good fit, bad fit, and buyout. So you get all the information right there if we have access to it. So we spend a lot of time on that. And there's no Gus Malzahn on there. There's no John Gruden. So we went and looked at, you know, the guys that have expressed interest. There's a tie to Arkansas and kind of where the administration should go after firing a 63-year-old coach who had just been there for the first time. So what is Arkansas looking for? They're looking for an experienced head coach, somebody that can ignite the fan base and donors. That's the huge thing. So having ties to Arkansas, while they're not a prerequisite, it would be nice to have. So if you, you know, put all that in a bundle and say, okay, computer, give me a name. What would that name be? It'd be Rhett Lashley. That's the obvious choice right there. Now, you guys have covered college football for a long time. Is it ever the first name that comes out?
Hardly ever. Very rarely.
Sam Pittman was number 693 in 2019 when Hunter Yurecek hired him. So I say that tongue in cheek, of course. But, you know, Lashley is in a great situation right now. He made the college football playoff last year. He brought SMU back from the dead. Now, look, June Jones had a lot to do with that previously. Mm-hmm. SMU was on their way, but they got to a Power Four conference. They got back into the possibility in the realm of being able to play for a national championship again. And Rhett Lashley did that. So congratulations. I don't think they get Rhett Lashley, okay? Right. It's going to take a lot of money for him to just even consider it, okay? For him to move out of Highland Park right now, it's going to take a good amount of dough, and I don't think Arkansas is willing to pay that. So,
and I want to interject real quick, Kevin. Yeah, it's easier for Rhett Lashley to make the college football playoff in the Big 12 than it is at Arkansas. Am I correct on that? Because I think it is.
Yeah, and, you know, doing it in the ACC, SMU's for some reason, in the ACC. So, yeah, it's a lot easier, especially when you got Dabo Swinney who refuses to recruit out of the transfer portal and play the game. So, you know, that's pretty easy right there. So,
but he wins a lot. He wins a lot.
Yeah. But 8-4 just doesn't do it after you've won two national championships in 3 years. I mean, it just doesn't. It's like, all right, we're good now. So, you know, Sweeney probably has – I saw a skit yesterday that Dabo's probably got something on the administration. He's got pictures of the dog at their house, and they're looking after him. So go to TikTok, look up Cook the Books, and it's really funny. So – John Summerall from Tulane, you know, they want a disciplinarian, somebody that'll come in for, I really like Fran Brown. He was a D-backs coach at Georgia. Kirby Smart hated to lose him. You know, he lost Dan Lanning, but losing Fran Brown was really big. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, if you can win at Syracuse, you can win at Arkansas. It's not necessarily true, boys. Because Arkansas is still in the SEC. You're not putting them in the old Big East or the ACC or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, we got 20 names on there. And you look, some of them have no shot at getting the University of Arkansas, but there is a connection somehow. Jesse Minter, who's the defensive coordinator at the Chargers, you know, grew up in Little Rock. He's 36 years old, never had a head coaching job, but somewhere down the line, he's going to get a head coaching job.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin, I do want to ask you, how concerned are you with now that Sam Pittman has been let go and the comments that the AD said the last time we had you on at the Little Rock Country Club, the quarterback club, about the football fund issue? How concerned are you that about coaches not looking at that Arkansas job?
Well, he went complete 180 yesterday. I mean, a complete 180. His exact quote, I had it pulled up earlier, but he said that as we begin our search, national search for a head coach, we will have the resources available to the coach and his staff to compete and compete for a national championship. So that 2 weeks ago, that wasn't the case. And he put a caveat at the end of it that Coach Bobby Petrino would be included in that search. Now, so Bobby Petrino is auditioning to be the Arkansas permanent head coach for the second time. What's the first thing he does? He relieves the defensive staff of their duties.
Yes.
Both a coordinator and Travis Williams, co-defense coordinator Marcus Woodson, and a defensive line coach Deke Adams. Those three are gone. Nick Perry, the deep cornerback coach, is the only defensive guy left. So it's going to be interesting. Petrino and Juracek are meeting with the media today at noon, so we'll get a little bit of insight on what happens and what's going forward. But he's meeting with every coach, so we'll see.
Kevin, two questions here for you.
Yep.
Am I a conspiracy theorist? No, but it's kind of fun to go down those rabbit holes
right.
At times.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is there a reason why they didn't fire Sam Pittman after the Memphis game? Do you think that they were like, if Bobby Petrino was approached like, hey, we're going to make a move, do you think Bobby's like, do we need to wait after the Notre Dame game before we do this? I mean, I know it sounds far-fetched, but yeah. I won't put anything past Bobby Petrino either. With all of that being said, I think they could do the writing on the wall with that Notre Dame game. I think they knew where their team was.
Yeah.
Do you think they waited like, hey, let's wait, and I'm going to get my defensive guys here, and I'm going to get an idea, and I'm going to let these guys go and keep these guys? Do you think they waited a week, and so Bobby Petrino could be a little bit more prepared to bring in some folks in after this move, especially with the bye week?
It could be, because that gives you 3 weeks at that point because you're at a bye week. So right. At this point, look, if you start last week, like you said, which is not – a far stretch, as you may think.
Right.
That gives you a runway. That gives you a runway to, you know, get the guys and kind of get. Now, will they completely overhaul everything? No, because remember, these are 18, 19, 20,
right.
In some cases 23-year-old kids that still have to go out there and play. So it's going to be simplified. And, you know, it's not going to be the cure for all ails, but eliminating Sam Pittman. He is just a bystander of everything that's going wrong in this program right now. So there's got to be a lot of changes that need to happen. But getting a different voice in there, and Petrino is a different coach from Pittman. We know that.
I got you. I know Steven's got a question. I'm going to follow up my second part of the question. By Petrino, with this interview, and this will be short, he's got the off week this week to prepare, but then he's at Tennessee, who looks great.
Yeah.
He's at Texas A&M, which I'm somewhat convinced they might be the best team in the SEC. And then you got Auburn, improved from last year, but that's a winnable game.
Yeah.
Then you get Mississippi State, improved from last year, but that's a winnable game. You got another off week, you got LSU, they look miserable right now.
Yeah.
Texas, I think that's a winnable game. Missouri, that's a tough task to climb. Yeah. So he's got some hard, hard hurdles to overcome. How many has he got to overcome to become head coach?
I say at minimum 4.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, 4-8 doesn't do you much. I mean, and that would be winning 2 games, which I think is right about where he should end up. I mean, that defense is bad, guys.
It is.
Really bad. Yeah. It's one of the worst that I've seen, and I've seen some bad ones. So, you know, 4 gets you to a bowl game, so that gets you in the conversation.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's at minimum where he needs to be right there.
So, Kevin, look, man, thank you for taking time to give us a little bit of insight into the firing of Sam Pittman, and then, of course, moving forward with Bobby Petrino and the coaching search as well. Good luck. Hopefully you can get a lot of rest, but I know that you're going to be extremely busy, and we would love to catch up with you later on, especially next week when Arkansas travels to Tennessee.
Sounds good. I'll be playing Rocky Top all week to get ready for it.
And Kevin, I will leave you with this just to lift your spirits. Woo pig suey, man.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
All right. Hey, Kevin, any quick rumors of Houston Nutt?
Hey, he did make a phone call on Sunday.
I heard.
He did make a phone call on Sunday. I think Houston would be more fit for an athletic director's role at this point.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I agree. We'll All right, man. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
All right. So that is going to wrap up the Arkansas portion of the show. We did want to bring in Kevin to recap Sam Pittman's era up there at Arkansas and then talk about the hiring process of the new guy. When we come back, we've got two segments left. We are through with guests. Heath and I are going to give you our thoughts on what was an incredible week number 5. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back after.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores, scores.
Join us Saturday as the Crimson Tide start SEC play against the Georgia Bulldogs. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football. Presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people call me and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
As we know what's going on with the Crimson Tide, download the Tide 100.9 app today.
It's college football season, and what goes well with college football events? And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. We just finished up with the saga of Sam Pittman getting fired at Arkansas, and Kevin Bohanna joined us to talk about who they could potentially hire and Bobby Petrino, the interim coach, moving forward. And Heath, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, there is another coach in the SEC that looks about as miserable as Sam Pittman was on Saturday, and that is none other than Hugh Freeze down at Auburn. And you know, Heath, I hate to say this, but the more and more that I watch this Auburn football team, I kind of get the feeling that maybe Peyton Thorne wasn't the issue at Auburn the past 2 years, because they've got a new quarterback in there of Jackson Arnold, and the same issues are still popping up. Offensive line issues, they can't run the ball. They've got discipline issues with bad penalties. Hugh Freeze looked like he is absolutely miserable on the plains.
Yeah, and I'll throw in another name that I think is more miserable than Hugh Freeze is Pran Kelly. But touching on Hugh Freeze, you know, if Auburn won that game at Oklahoma, they'd be feeling great right now. But now you've got back-to-back SEC losses, and I still think Auburn is a great – I don't want to say great, but a really good team. I think they're really good. Do they have some offensive line issues? Yes. Have they put it all together? No. Is Jackson Arnold, is he kind of suffering from maybe some confidence issues? Maybe. I don't know. But we've heard stories that that was the problem at Oklahoma. We've heard stories that could be the problem at Auburn. We heard that back near the spring about confidence issues out of him. So could that be the case? Yeah. But, man, you're right, Stephen. This Auburn team's not clicking, and it looks like they're trending the wrong way. They need a big win bad. They got an off week, but now they got big bad Georgia coming in. And then they got Mizzou. I mean, those two teams are looking great right now. Then you get Arkansas, and Bobby Petrino is fighting for a job. Yeah. So will Hugh Freeze. That's going to be a great game. That's going to be a great. If you haven't bought your tickets to that Auburn-Arkansas game, you better get one, because I got a feeling there's going to be a lot of fireworks in that one.
Let me also say this about Saturday, and I would argue that this was the hardest watch of a football game that you could. Auburn and Texas A&M, third down efficiencies for Texas A&M, 3 of 14. Auburn, 0 of 13. And get this, penalties, 10 for 69 yards, Auburn. Yeah. Texas A&M, 13 for 119 yards. A&M won that game 16-10. That would make your eyeballs bleed to watch that.
And something I want to point out, Stephen, is maybe Oklahoma exposed some things on tape about Auburn, and A&M's like, we could, this is, the SEC's a repeat league. You hear that over and over. You listen to podcasts, you listen to radio, you listen to TV, you'll hear that over and over. When it's on tape, when it's on film, that you can't defend this, or you're not good at this, or you can't block this, every team is going to run that against you until you learn to do it. And if you don't learn to do it, you're going to do nothing but take L's over and over and over and over again. So maybe Oklahoma exposed something on film about Auburn, and Texas is like, that's all we're going to do today. And I think you kind of saw that. But what did you say, 0 for 13 on third down?
And then A&M was 3 for 14, so not much better.
No. No, not much better at all. But I'm telling you, let's talk about A&M super briefly. Are they better offensively than we all thought? Oh, my gosh, yes. Defensively, are they better than we thought? You don't think so? I think they're a step up from last year defensively. Nothing impressive or over the top, but I think they're a little bit better than last year. But that offense is a whole heck of a lot better.
Yep. All right. Let's talk about another game that really, really surprised a lot of people, and that was in Oxford, Mississippi. And I have a question for Brian Kelly. Do you realize that you finally have offensive issues? Has it come to light in your brain? Because you went off on a reporter and deflected it a couple of weeks ago after the Florida game. We don't have any offensive issues. Yes, you do, Coach, because here's the deal. Ole Miss, going into that football game on Saturday, gave up 200 rushing yards a game. LSU was only able to run for 55 yards on a team that had given up 200 yards coming in. That is not an Ole Miss issue. Ole Miss didn't just click and say, oh, we've got this figured out. No, that was an offensive line, an offense issue on LSU's side. Get it through your thick head, Brian Kelly. You have issues on offense.
Steven, you might need to turn up your microphone and open up the window. I don't think he heard you. You might need to say it a little bit louder. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm not disagreeing with anything you just said. I'm not at all.
He's in denial.
I don't think he's in denial. I think he was wanting to look. LSU media is like the softest media in the world. Coach, is your favorite colors purple and gold? Coach said his favorite colors are purple and gold. Like, the LSU media is so super soft. Yeah. It is the biggest homer bunch I've ever seen. And hey, that's saying a lot from the SEC, because every SEC school has their homer bunch of reporters and beat writers. They do. But LSU is by far the softest. And with that, to see someone challenge Brian Kelly was a little bit of a shocker.
Right.
But to see how Brian Kelly was like trying to control that situation only shed a massive spotlight on the issue and magnified it, 1,000%. Look, Caden Durham was like leading the SEC or one of the tops in the SEC last year or rushing the ball. And then he had like the turf toe injury or whatever, or broken toes or whatever it was. And like they stopped running the ball. And so at the beginning of this year, I was like, all right, Caden Durham's going to just be running all over people. And then I was like, maybe that foot's not completely healed. Well, Caden Durham didn't even play in the game the other day.
No.
And it didn't matter who was back there. They weren't running the ball anyway. It is an offensive line issue. We've had people on this show, beat writers on this show, national writers on this show, talk about, I just don't know about that offensive line at LSU. I just don't know. And they all said the same thing. We don't know if they're not good or if they're not gelling, but it's one or the other. Right now, they're not good. Can they become good? Yes. Look, Garrett Nussmeier was the, Heisman leading candidate coming into the season for the SEC, for the entire SEC. Who's the one guy that could win the Heisman? Oh, it's Nussmeier. Nussmeier at LSU. Those numbers he put up last year, it's Nussmeier. Dude, Nussmeier is like hardly doing anything. Yeah. We saw what he did last year. We know what he can do. I mean, the Anderson boys, Nick and Aaron Anderson, they're not related, but they're two of the biggest wide receivers in the SEC. They're doing nothing. Caden Durham, the run game, doing nothing. There's a huge problem with that LSU offense. And, Steven, a lot of people will disagree with this. I thought Ole Miss was going to blow them out even more this past Saturday. That score didn't shock me. I thought it would be a whole lot more. And guess what? It would have been if Ole Miss didn't fumble the ball through the end zone or in the end zone. They would have put some more points on the board. But I didn't think LSU was good going into that game. I know LSU's not good. I don't think LSU deserves to even be ranked. They definitely weren't a number four team. They sure weren't a number 14 team. I might put them at 24, maybe. I'm telling you right now, if LSU offensive line doesn't figure it out, they're not going to be ranked at the end of the season. They might not be in a bowl.
Heath, before we go to break, 21 rushing attempts from LSU, 2.8 yards a rush for 59 yards in the game against a defense that gave up 200 rushing yards coming in. Yikes.
Like I said, man, this LSU team is not good.
No.
I don't think it's the quarterback. I don't think it's the receivers. It could be the running game, but I doubt it. Could you get so much talent? It's that offensive line, man. Yes. Either that or it's the play calling.
Yeah.
I'm going offensive line. It might be both. Could be offensive line and play calling. But I'm definitely pointing fingers at that offensive line.
All right, we've got one segment left. When we come back, we are going to talk about the other shocking games from this past weekend. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will be right back to finish it up.
LSU's got an off week, and they got South Carolina, Vanderbilt, and A&M. They lose all three of those. Wow.
Coming up on The Game with Ryan Fowler.
Coming up on the Tuesday edition of The Game, we're going to talk Alabama, Vanderbilt. We'll do it with Mike Dettillier. We'll take your scores on a Southern Alehouse score prediction day. We'll talk to Hugh Millen, former NFL quarterback. He's going to share some thoughts on this Alabama offense and a lot more. Starting at 2 p.m. on The Game with Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Your home of Alabama Crimson Tide Sports.
The longest running sports program in Tuscaloosa. The Game with Ryan Fowler. Weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577. Or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. North on Highway 69 from Old Greensboro Road to Skyland Boulevard, it's a 7-minute drive. East on McFarland from Coker to Jack Warner Parkway, it's a 14-minute drive. We have long-term construction on Skyland Boulevard from I-359 to Buttermilk Road, and also construction on Old Birmingham Highway East near 55th Avenue. With your Tuscaloosa traffic now, I'm Lisa Bakke.
Alabama fans are all over the world, and we are too. Download the Tide 100.9 app right now in the App Store and Google Play, and take the Crimson Tide everywhere you go.
One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabama1.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama 1, one together. back inside the Stingray Show. And Heath, briefly, before we move on, you talked about LSU going 0-3 right before we went to break with their schedule. Only problem is South Carolina actually goes to Death Valley. South Carolina's not winning in Death Valley. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, can Beamer Ball do it? Yeah. But I just, South Carolina's just not clicking, man. They're just not clicking.
No.
And they can, but it's just not going right now. You know, Stephen, LSU, after that South Carolina game, they got the off week. They got South Carolina at home. Then they're at Vandy. That's winnable.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's going to be a fight. And then you got Texas A&M, who I'm highly impressed with. But we call them Texas 8-4 for a reason.
Yeah.
They dropped two games where we never expect them to. So here's the crazy thing. LSU could easily go 3-0 in that stretch. LSU could easily go 0-3. I'm going to say it's somewhere in the middle. I don't know if it's going to be 1-2, 2-1. But right. I'm not impressed with LSU right now until they figure that offensive line. And they might figure it out in the bye week. They might. And if they do, they come out and beat South Carolina by 41 points, so be it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not thinking that's going to happen ever.
I'll tell you another team that I'm really not impressed with that everybody had the hype on, and they have glaring issues, the Volunteers of Tennessee. They literally survived. I mean, literally by the skin of their teeth, survived in Starkville on Saturday. Their defense is just atrocious. I am not sold on Tennessee.
I'll say this about their defense. They did score 14 points. I mean, Mississippi State, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. You know, hey, I'm a Mississippi State graduate, but Mississippi State that game.
Yeah.
You know, you've got a top 15 team at your place. You got the lead in the fourth quarter and the ball. And then, you know, it's a scoop and score the other way, and now you're trailing. They gave them a pick six, and then they gave them a scoop and score. Mississippi State gave Tennessee 14 points, and you lose in overtime.
Yeah.
And I thought this. I'm not the only one that thought it. You've got Fluff Bothwell. And Fluff had like 134 yards and two touchdowns, and they've ran on that Tennessee defense all day long. And he doesn't touch the ball from 4 yards out with two plays. How does that happen?
Yeah.
How does that happen? He's already got two. Like, if you pull up the stats and say, tell me which player had the best game for Mississippi State, and you just looked at the stats, you're like, it's not even close. Fluff Bothwell had the best game than any other Mississippi State player. Not even close. It's not even a discussion. It's not even a debate. You can't even stretch it to convince anybody. And they didn't give him the ball on third down or fourth down from the 4 yard line.
Yeah.
Like, I do not understand that. I just do not. And you had to have a score to keep the game going in overtime. I just don't understand that.
Right.
I don't get it. But you know, they had a wide open receiver there at the goal line. Quarterback didn't see him. He's running for his life. But, you know, Stephen, I'll say this. Tennessee should have beaten Georgia.
Yep.
And then Georgia loses to Alabama. And we think Alabama is looking better and better and better each week. I do agree with that statement. But I'm not sold on Georgia.
No.
Georgia should have lost that Tennessee game. They did lose the Bama game. Georgia should be sitting at two losses. They didn't. I'll give that to their credit. Tennessee shouldn't win on Saturday, but I give it to them and give them all the credit. They made the plays when they had to, and they made more plays. So with that, week five usually separates everybody, and you start learning who the contenders and pretenders are at week five that we just had. I think we got some question marks. I think we see some contenders, like Bama looks like a contender. I don't know if Georgia is.
Right.
I think Tennessee is, but I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, you're supposed to be getting better and take a huge step forward at week five. Tennessee didn't take that step forward.
No.
Georgia didn't take that step forward. Did Alabama? Yes, they did take that step forward. So I don't know, man. A lot of teams that won in week five. I would love to see that study, Stephen. Maybe I'll waste some time this week and try to pull that up. Teams at week five and how they finish the rest of the season, the winners and losers in the SEC. I want to see if I can find anything out there on that. But, yeah, week five is supposed to be the, you know, hey, these teams are clearly better than these teams. The line's kind of blurred with some of that right now.
Heath, that is going to wrap up week number five. When we turn the page to week number six, these teams are off. LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Tennessee, Arkansas, Auburn, and Missouri. It is a very light slate this weekend, and we will begin week number six previews tomorrow when we will be talking about the game in Gainesville, Florida. Florida coming off of a bye week, and Texas coming off of a bye week. We will be previewing the Longhorns versus the Gators tomorrow night, right back here at 6 p.m. on the Stingray Show.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Stephen, there are, what, seven teams off this week? Seven of the 16 are off this week. Everyone has a conference game except for one. Do you know the one?
Oklahoma versus Kent State.
The Flashes. So, yeah. So, yeah, other than that, a lot of great conference games this week. A lot of teams off this week. We'll have to wait and see. Maybe we'll get that separation this week.
Hey,